I want to talk to you this morning about something along a serious vein. You know, all of God's word is not, I was going to say serious, it's all serious, but it's not all somber. This morning I want us to look perhaps a little more inwardly than we have in recent weeks. Turn with me, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament, and it's right after Proverbs. So if you can find Psalms and Proverbs, and the very next book is Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a book from which the Word of God is not often preached. It's a book that is not well understood within the church generally, and even some of those who are, let me just say it in plain language, the cults like Ecclesiastes, because Ecclesiastes is the kind of a book that it's a book that was written by a frustrated, disappointed old king. Was written by Solomon at the end of his life. And you know that Solomon was a man who started out with God with great joy and with great vigor and with great blessing. But Solomon didn't keep his act together, so to speak. And Solomon, toward the end of his days, was not really happy with his life. And much of this book was written in those days. And some of the things that Solomon says here have been used by those not looking for the teaching of God's word, but rather looking for verses and scripture that would prove and support their own points, and have developed great twisted doctrines out of this book. Because of it, much as the book of Ecclesiastes is not frequently preached within the Christian church. Well, some would say, well, why is it in the Bible? Well, it's in the Bible because God's Word says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's all profitable for teaching and for doctrine, for reproof and for correction and instruction in righteousness. Now, it's even profitable, you see, to know what a disappointed old man thought after he had lived his entire life seeking after the things of this world. It's helpful for us to see what conclusions a man came to after a life like that. It is profitable for our instruction. It is profitable for our reproof. It's profitable for our doctrine and for our correction. And there's one particular passage that the Lord has given to me this week for us. It's in chapter 5. Now, before we read it, let's, as our custom is, let's be sure that we know that we're inviting the Spirit of God to minister to us out of His Word today. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we yield ourselves to You as instruments, Lord, of Your grace and of Your truth, of Your wisdom. We ask You, Father, to speak through us this morning under the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. We know that the anointing, Father, is on Your Word, and it is that anointing that causes every yoke to be broken. Jesus said if we continued in the Word, then we should be His disciples and we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. Father, we desire to be operating in that Christian freedom in every area of our life. At the same time, Father, we know that there is absolutely no freedom, no peace apart from operating in Your will. And so, Lord, we want to know Your will for us today. We want You to speak to us through Your Word. We want to know what is thus saith the Lord to me and to each one of us today and to the church as a whole. We believe, Father, that You have given this passage of Scripture for our instruction and our correction today. And in Jesus' name, Lord, we open ourselves to allow You to work by the power of Your Spirit through the anointing of the Word. Cause this Word to come alive in the heart of every person who hears it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse number 1, Ecclesiastes 5. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Therefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there also are divers vanities. But fear thou God. Seems to speak pretty plainly, doesn't it? As pretty straight words. It's pretty straight language for the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe that God wants to talk to us this morning about responsibility and about faithfulness or fidelity. He says, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. In other words, let us be careful when we go into the presence of God. Let us not go casually, but let us exercise care when we go. Why? Because God is God. Sometimes as we, when we receive especially the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and we develop this very close, personal, intimate relationship with God, if we're not careful, it is easy to take our God for granted. Those of you who are married know what it's like to be married. You develop an intimate, personal, close relationship with your husband or your wife. But unless you are careful in that relationship, the first thing you know, you're taking your husband or you're taking your wife for granted. The same thing can happen to a Christian in taking his Heavenly Father for granted. The Word says to be careful or to keep your foot. Watch where you're walking, in other words, when you go into the presence of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Now, what's the sacrifice of fools? The very next verse. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty. The sacrifice of fools is constantly running at the mouth. That's what he's talking about there. Constantly going at the mouth and not listening, always talking. Let me share with you what I believe he's talking about there. I have occasion from time to time, praise God, it's not often, but from time to time it will happen. I'll have someone who will come to me for counseling, for help, on the telephone, sometime in person. And they'll begin to talk and they'll begin to share with me what their problem is. And they'll just be going, it's not tongues either. It's all their problems, just seeing it, just heaping all these things out. And I will begin to, there's no opportunity for me to speak. And so I will try to make an opportunity. And I will say two or three words. And it's just more like this. And I will say, well, now, sister, have you ever thought of this? And you know, and she's so concerned about telling me all the things that are going on that I'll sit there for 30 minutes. And she hasn't heard a word I said. Or he hasn't heard a word I said. Now, oftentimes, people will come to God that way. And they're so busy going, blah, 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 God doesn't have an opportunity to talk to them. They need to hear from God, but he's not able to speak to them because they're so busy running off at the mouth. You know, there's a time to be quiet before the Lord. There's a time to let him minister. You know, he's a person too. He's a person. We have this word that was spoken from the lips of the Almighty. That tells me that he can talk. If he can talk, then don't you think he wants to talk to you and me? Does that make sense? And so we should be careful and not be rash with our mouth and give the sacrifice of fools. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon the earth, and let thy words be few. I believe, though, that there is a deeper and more special meaning in this passage of Scripture for us as believers today. And it begins to get more specific in verse number 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Now many would read that and say, well, and what God's talking about is he wants my money. And that when I make a commitment to pay my money, he wants me to pay my money. That's not what he's talking about there. It's part of it, yes, but that's not the main idea of what God is getting at here. The Word of God says that when you come to Jesus Christ, you are not your own, you're bought with a price. You no longer belong to yourself anymore, you belong to God Almighty. When you say, I take Jesus, you heard me say down here on the platform, or off the platform just a few minutes ago, that it's very easy to get saved, but it's very expensive. It costs everything. Did you hear me say that? Is that what I said? That's true. When you come to God, you come completely, totally. There isn't anybody that forces you in. You come of your own free will. And the Word of God says that when you come into the family of God, you are not your own anymore. You were bought with a price. You're bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he owns you lock, stock, and barrel. Now, I personally like it that way. I mean, I'm glad that that's the way it is. He owns me lock, stock, and barrel, and then you know what he does? He takes care of my every need. See, that's a pretty good deal, I think, don't you? All right, now, Jesus said this same thing a little different way over in the Gospel of Luke. In the 14th chapter, he said this, chapter 14, verse 27. He said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Jesus said that when you're giving your life to God, or when you are vowing a vow unto the Most High God, he says, consider what it is that you're saying. Consider what it is that you're giving, because he said that it's better that you don't make the vow than you make it and don't pay it. It's better that you don't say, hey, God, I'm going to do this for you. Hey, Lord, look at me. I'm going to do this work for you, Lord. It's better you don't even say that than you say it and don't do it. Jesus told a story about two sons one day. And he tells the story that the father came to the two sons and he said, to the first, he said, son, I want you to go out in the field and work. And the son said, yes, father, I'll go. And he didn't go. He came to the second son and he said, son, I want you to go out into the field and work. And the son said, no, I won't go. But later he repented and went. Jesus said, which son did the will of the father? The second one. Even though he said no the first time, he later turned and went. But the first son who said, oh yes, I'll go, and then did not go, only said what he thought his father wanted to hear. And then he turned and went his own way. There's a story about that in the book of Acts, about in the 5th chapter. God is concerned about honesty and faithfulness. The custom in the New Testament church, we read from Acts chapter 4, is that there wasn't anybody in the fellowship who lacked anything. Everybody had what they needed. Those that had possessions took them and sold them, and they brought the money to the apostles' feet. The apostles distributed the money to those who needed it. But in chapter number 5, in the first few verses, there's a story about a man and his wife named Ananias and Sapphira. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. They sold their property for a certain sum of money, and they brought a part of the money to the house of God, and they said, here is the price for the house. And they kept back some of it. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Now listen to this. This verse is the key. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. What was Peter saying? Peter said, Ananias, God did not require that you give the whole price. God didn't ask you to sell the land and give the whole money into the church. He didn't require that. But when you said you were going to do it, it's better that you never promised it in the first place than to promise it and then lie about it and not do it. It's better that you don't make the vow in the first place than to make the vow and not be faithful in performing on it. It's better for you to say, no, I won't do that for God, than to say, yes, I will, and then fail and not be faithful in performing the responsibility of that which you have spoken. It is better never to do anything for God. Nothing absolutely zippo. It is better for you never to lift a finger in the service of the Lord God than for you to make a show of saying, yes, I'll do it, and then never follow through. In the book of Hebrews, the third chapter, the apostles talking about two men, Moses and Jesus. And he says in verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. He was faithful to him that appointed him. He was faithful to do that which he said he would do. He was faithful to do that responsibility that God had called him for. He was faithful to follow the calling that God had on his life. Paul says in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore exhort you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. If God's called you to do something, then be responsible and faithful to do it. But be sure before you say you're going to do it that you have covenanted with yourself that you will follow through and do it. It's not only the people who are dependent upon you. It's God who's dependent upon you. He says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. And neither say thou before the angel or the messenger of God. When God's messenger comes and says, how come you didn't do it? Don't say, well, I made a mistake. No, don't say, I made an error. Wherefore should God be angry with your voice? Turn with me to Luke, the 16th chapter. I know of very few things that hinder the work of God any more than unfaithfulness. Verse number 10, Luke 16, verse number 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? God says if we don't learn how to be faithful in another man's things, if we don't learn how to be faithful in the things that belong to God, if we are not faithful in the house of God, how is God going to be able to give us our own? If we're not responsible, if we are not faithful people. In the book of Galatians in the 5th chapter, Paul is talking about the fruits of the Spirit. We all know them very well, about how the fruits are faith and or love and joy and peace and gentleness and tenderness. And one of those fruits is also faith. And if you will check that word very carefully, you will find that the word faith is more literally faithfulness or fidelity. One of the works of the Holy Spirit in the renewed life is to generate faithfulness or fidelity in the children of God. God says, better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay or not do it. Now I know that as soon as I say this, someone is bound to say, well, I've got it all figured out. Since God is so concerned about fidelity and faithfulness, and since God is so concerned that if I vow a thing and don't do it, it's better I didn't do it, didn't vow it in the first place, I got it figured out, I will never do anything. Some of you already got that, didn't you? Already deduced that, that the way that you could be safe and secure with God is to never ever volunteer to do anything, to never ever obey the voice of God when God says, son, I want you to do this, or daughter, I want you to do this, to say, well, no, I don't think I will. Later on, if I change my mind, I might do it, but at least I haven't made a vow, and then I won't get crosswise of God. Then I want to read, you see, to you, Matthew chapter 25. I don't want anybody to go out of here unbalanced this morning. Matthew 25, verse number 14 and following. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents, and likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Not the same as good and faithful, is it? Wicked and slothful. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Or with interest, in other words. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, if you want to know the truth, I don't really feel this way, but I can see how some could feel, well, God's got me squeezed. That's right. He does. Well, that's not right for God to do that. Why not? You are not your own. He bought you with the price of the blood of His precious Son. He spent all He had in heaven to buy you. Why can't He do with you what He wants? Same as He can do with me. Well, that's not fair. Isn't it? Isn't it? Look what He paid, beloved. Look what He paid. And look at the reward and the inheritance that He has prepared for us. We only have the down payment on it here. We only have the down payment. We haven't seen anything yet. In the meantime, God says to you and to me, if I have given you one talent, if I've given you just the teeniest little bit, I want you to use it for me. I want you to be faithful in employing it for the work of my kingdom. If you don't, I want you to remember that I am the one that reaps where I do not sow. I'm the one that gathers where I didn't straw. I want you to remember that. Don't sit in the background and say, I can't do anything for God. Don't sit in the back and say, I don't have any ability. Don't sit in the back and say, well, God doesn't want me. Don't sit in the background and say, well, there isn't anything that I can do for the kingdom of God. That is the devil's lie. God has given to every one of His children ability or talents relative to their several ability, the Word says. And if you are not doing something for God, you're laying idle and fallow in the kingdom of God when men and women everywhere are crying out to know this God, are crying out to hear the gospel. Now, some of you are sitting here this morning and you're in that state, aren't you? Some of you are here this morning and in your heart you know that there's work to be done. You know that there's people to be ministered to. You know that the people are crying out for help. And you know that you've got something to give. If Christ is in you, you've got something to give, beloved. God says, I want you to give what you have available. And I want you to seriously consider the opportunities for service and for ministry in my body and my kingdom. I want you to count the cost before you start to build the tower. I want you to know that it will cost you something. But I also want you to know that when you say, yes, Lord, I'll do it, that I hold you responsible to get it done. Now it might be, I'm going to teach a Sunday school class. I'm going to sing in the choir. I'm going to play the piano. Well, I don't feel like playing the piano this morning. I don't really think I want to get locked into anything that's permanent. I don't want to get anything into anything that I've got to do, you know, every Wednesday or every Thursday. Gee, I don't know if I could, you know, I just got back from out of town yesterday. I'm a little tired today. I don't think I'll make it this morning. No. Maybe it's leading a youth group. Maybe it's cutting the grass. Maybe it's scrubbing the marks off the walls. Maybe it's cleaning off the profanity that some of the devil's kids put on our glass this weekend. Yes, I'll do it. And then it doesn't get done. And a week goes by, and a month goes by, and 6 months go by, and it doesn't get done. God says it's better that you never agreed to do it than that you said you'd do it and found other things more important and did not get it done. Now, why would the Lord have me speak this kind of a message to you today? I don't know exactly, but I suspect that part of it has to do with this. I know that the Lord is ministering this to a few of you personally. And it may be that the Lord has been dealing with you along these lines for some time. It may be that you've been running helter-skelter and the Lord now is grabbing you up by the shoulder straps and saying, hey, now listen to me. But I think that there's something else involved and it has to do with our entire fellowship and the work that God wants us to do here. This is the first Sunday in a new year. It's the first Sunday in a whole new decade. Beloved, there are those that believe with all their heart that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is coming again in this decade to get his church. Now, I don't know whether he is or not. He hasn't told me that. But if he did, I can tell you it wouldn't surprise me. Now, if that's the case, the days are short. The time is short. And that which we are going to do, we must do quickly. God has spoken to us as a church and he has shown us the things that he wants to do through this ministry. How's he going to get it done? He will get it done by dispersing among this body the abilities, the gifts, the fruits, and the talents that he needs in this place to get this work accomplished. And then he will hold us responsible for our faithfulness and our obedience in saying, yes, Lord, I will, and then our fidelity in doing it faithfully. And I believe that's what God's trying to say to us today as a church, above and beyond what he may be saying to you and to me. As individuals, sometimes sometimes it comes so fast I just can't bring it all. In the last 2 weeks, it's interesting that last Sunday morning the Lord talked to us about trusting him. Last Sunday night, he told us that he wants us to grow up. This morning, he says, I want you to be faithful. I want you to be responsible. I want you to be faithful in all of my house. And I want you to consider carefully that when you make covenant with the Almighty God, when you agree to do something in the kingdom of God, you're not making an agreement with the preacher. You're not making a covenant with the Sunday school superintendent. You are not making an agreement with the elder in charge of the building. You're not making a bargain with those men. You're making a bargain with me, beloved. You're making a vow with the Almighty God. You remember now that I sit in heaven. I ride the four winds. You're on the earth. I want you to understand now there's a difference between us. I want you to know that I'm the daddy and you're the child. I want you to realize that when you make a commitment in the work of the gospel, that it's not a game we're playing. It's a vow that you make unto me, even though you make it through a man or through a woman or through a ministry. It's a vow that you're making to me. And it's better that you don't make it than to not do what you say you are going to do. Now, it's important. It's important. Do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. It's most unfortunate, and it brings great reproach upon the body of Jesus Christ when his people are not faithful with their covenants and with their commitments. How many times have we seen men and women individually and collectively saying, I believe God wants us to do thus and so. And they rush off like a herd of thundering turtles, as it said, to do this great magnificent work for God. But they are not faithful in the calling. And when they encounter resistance, or when something else comes along that maybe looks a little better, when there's difficulty or struggling in trying to get that work done, they abandon the work. The work goes down the drain. And the cause of Jesus Christ gets a black eye. Don't you know that there are men and women all over our county and beyond that are watching what's happening here? Don't you know how many bodies just like this have sprung up like a match? Psst, big flame. And then, boom, gone. 2, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years later, gone. Why is that? Why is that? Why is it that ministries spring up over here and 2 years later, boom, they're gone? I was reading in Logos magazine just yesterday. An article, there was a quote in there from a pastor on the West Coast. And he said that out of 21 charismatic full gospel prayer groups that he had ministered to over the last 4 or 5 years, over half of them had now died. Why? Did God go out of business? Did the power of God get 50% reduced? You know and I know the answer to that. You know and I know the answer to that. Now, I know that that isn't going to happen here. I know that's not going to happen here. I just know that. I have absolutely no fear or concern. But I have that message for the body of Christ, not only this one, but others as well. Be faithful in what God has called you to do and perform what you said you would do. It's not a game God's playing. And the world is watching the body of Christ. And if the body is over here playing around with this thing, and then it leaves it for a while, and it runs over here, and it plays around in this little thing for a while, and then drops that one, and it runs over here, and it plays around it. Oh, look at what God's doing. Oh, it's doing like this. And then the first thing you know, you don't see anything of it. What does the world think about that? Here today and gone tomorrow. That does not represent the eternal, unchangeable God, does it? That does not represent the rock of ages, does it? Why not? Because God's people must be faithful. They must take their responsibility seriously. If you say, I'm going to sing in the choir, then bless God, sing in it. Every time it comes together, sing. If not, don't say, I'll sing. Just forget it. Just forget it. And then deal with God about His call on your life. You deal with the Lord. He tells you to sing, you say, no, God, I'm not singing. Just take care of it that way. It's better than to not do it. Be faithful. If you say you're going to teach Sunday school, then do it. If you say you're going to be an elder, then bless God, be an elder. Lead the people of God. Minister to the people of God. Serve God. You understand what I'm saying? Did I step on anybody's toes? I don't want to do that. I believe that God's Word is the food for the church. I believe that when we feed on the Word of God, some of it may not go down as easy as others. I don't know about you, but when I was a baby, and I was once, my mother tells me that in order to get me to eat spinach, that she would put the spinach on the spoon and then dip it in the mashed potatoes. And I love mashed potatoes. And I would eat the mashed potatoes and I'd get the spinach. Well, she knew that I needed that spinach. See, I had to have that. And she got it done. Now, it didn't taste good. I didn't like that whole spinach. But it was good for me. You see, it helped me. I grew to be good-sized fella. See? And so it is true with the Word of God. Sometimes it is bitter. Sometimes it doesn't taste so good. But beloved, if you'll eat it all, you will find that if it does taste bitter, that's the part you need to eat. If it doesn't taste good, that's the part you need to get down there. You'll find that when you do get that food down, you may not understand what's going on in there, but it will grow. It will nourish you. You will grow in the Lord. Be thou faithful. Do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to speak to us today by the anointing and the power of your Spirit we believe that you have. We know, Father, that even though we do not understand fully what you have said perhaps today, that we have received your word with open ears and an open heart. And we know, Father, that this word will go down into that open heart and it will take root there, it will grow there, and it will produce the fruit that you desire to have produced, the fruit, yes, even of righteousness. We thank you, Father, for the way that you are teaching us and the way that you are causing us to grow. We thank you also, Father, for your correction along the way, for your warnings here and there. For we do from time to time, Father, stand before you and say, here am I, Lord, send me, here am I, do whatever you want in my life. But we thank you, Father, that you are showing us along the way what these commitments mean. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity and the privilege of serving you. We thank you, Lord, that there's a work going on in this place that requires many talents and many skills and many abilities. And we thank you also, Father, that you have distributed among this body every ability and every gift necessary to the ministry here in this place. We know that we come behind in no gift, nor in any ability nor skill. We know that you have given unto the body perfect and complete equipment. We thank you, Father, for challenging us to be faithful with what you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.